The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. I'm your host, Rick Thompson, and our Saratoga All-Star, because she is a Saratoga All-Star and a frequent guest on our show, Nancy Muldoon. And you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM Skidmore Radio. And the phone number in the studio, if you want to call in with anything, is 518-580-5783, and we always enjoy listening to guests that call in. So don't be afraid. Don't hesitate. Just do it. Make that a New Year's resolution. You're going to call in and let your voice be heard. Nancy.
Good morning, Rick.
How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. And it's a little slick out there, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
I'll tell you.
It's a little treacherous driving over here today.
Yeah. We got a little freezing rain coming out. When I got up at 4:30 this morning and I went outside to put the recyclables out and get the paper, it was just starting to get crunch time. So I figured the weatherman must know what he talked about last night. Because that's the only job that pays so much money for somebody to be wrong half the time.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, today I would just like, this is by no means a full list because there's a lot of stuff that goes on here in Saratoga. A bunch of it good, a bunch of it bad. Well, not bad, but a bunch of it questionable. But some of the things that have gone on in 2018... I'd like to talk about it. Number one, we have a new life for Saratogians' old homes, and or I should say old buildings. And the number one story in Saratoga for 2018 was the fire at City Hall. Now, I was led to believe that it really wasn't much of a fire. It was a lot of water damage. And I was also told by a former employee that what they used to do before computers was store the paper files in boxes in the ceiling. They had a few drop down ceilings, and they would put the boxes up there. So, if it was ever a full fledged fire, I think the place would go up because it is over 100-year-old building. But with the building being a block and a half, maybe not even that, from the fire department, it would seem to me that if there was any kind of a spark, it wouldn't get too far. And I was told there wasn't much fire damage, but they gutted the whole inside of City Hall.
Yeah, I heard that too. But you have to remember too, it was torrential downpour that day.
Yeah, and they gutted it so that they're redoing, they have to remove the asbestos, and they're redoing the whole inside, and they may be moving offices around, and they're putting elevators in so that you won't be able to go up to the court area or the police commissioner area unless you have, they'll check you, wind you, to make sure that you're not carrying anything upstairs to do anything against the girl that works in the office, I guess. I don't know. But right now the price tag is $11 million without any change orders.
Wow.
Insurance will pay half of that. But And right now that they're using all the city offices at the rec center.
And I think there's some offices over in the Lincoln Bath building as
well. Yeah, the Lincoln Bath building, so they can take a bath before they start work. And but it just goes to show you that instead of, because they were talking, people were talking about, and former City Hall employees were talking about, excuse me, maybe building a new City Hall and using the current one as maybe a museum type, because, you know, it was built over 100 years ago, and the ceilings in the offices are probably 20 feet tall, which they're beasts to warm in the winter and in the summer with air condition. They have window air conditioning.
Well, certainly Saratoga needs some updating. I mean, I don't know why we don't have an updated police station and a city hall. It seems strange that in a town with this kind of money, in some ways we're very antiquated and not up to date.
Right. I mean, strange. You know, I had put, if I can find it here from the brew pub, let me see. It may be a page I didn't print out. I don't know. But, this happened in August, and it looks like they won't get into the new building. Construction won't be done until September, October, and the mayor said if we're lucky. So this may go, for more than a year and a half. And, the building itself, and the real reason why I think a new city hall should have been maybe carefully considered is inside that building was, all the city offices. The Civil Service Commission had an office or department downstairs. Saratoga County Law Library was housed in Saratoga Springs City Hall for the County Law Library. And the floor was sagging because there's so many law books that any attorney or judge from the county can go and get information out of.
But it's open to the public, too, or it was.
Yeah, okay.
It was open to the public.
All right. And we have the police station downstairs of City Hall. And we have the city jail that is downstairs in City Hall. Now, I must say the police department, this is nothing against the police, but the police department and city jail were really made for Keystone Cops. That's when they had, seven cops that used to run after cars with their batons or horses. But quite a few offices were in deplorable condition. And, now they'll be new. And like I said, they may be in different spots of City Hall where they were before the fire. But this is going to be upwards of $11 million. The insurance will pay for half of it, but it seems like an awful lot of money that they could have spent on a new place with a new police department. I don't know. It just sometimes you wonder what makes our city officials think of.
You wonder who's in charge.
Who is in charge? Yes, that is the question. I think we know that, but I don't think most Saratogians know that.
Worse, they don't think too much about it.
They don't. You know, we were talking about this with another friend of ours, and people really don't understand their cities. They don't understand, how things work. Because I think if they did, they would be a little bit more attentive and questioning of what goes on. One of the things that happened was the leaf pickup this year. Now,
you mean the leaf no pickup?
The leaf no pickup.
There's now, still a ton of leaves all over the city.
Oh, now. There's leaves all over the city. We had a snowstorm in the end of November, and they were plowing the roads with the leaves in the roads because we can put leaves at the roadside. And they were thrown all over the place. And the answer to that from our commissioner, Skip Scirocco, was in response to some residents' concerns, probably maybe 80% of the citizens' concerns, that's what I figure the number is, regarded leaf pickup in the city. The commissioner said that crews have already been through the city three or four times and do continuous leaf pickup. Well, I have to say that in my development, they were only there twice, and that was early on. And we've got two huge maple trees, one on our front and one in between my neighbors and our house, that have an enormous amount of money. And he said that the residents with leaves should containerize them, place them in bags, and then put them out on the curbside so they're not in the gutter. But I'll tell you something, if I had to buy bags for the leaves that we have in front of our house, you know, it cost me a small fortune.
Oh, I'll
bet you I would have over 100 bags.
Oh, yeah.
And the bags are like, what, $3 a piece?
I think they're four, but I could be wrong.
$4 a piece. So, you know, you're looking at about, 120 upwards, because we do have a lot of leaves. But
the other phenomenon that's going on around town is, have you noticed all the trees that are being cut down?
I know.
I mean, there's just it's almost like
good trees too.
Apparently, yeah. I mean, there's just a bunch of stumps all over Saratoga.
I know.
Saratoga stumps.
And you know, the old trees were the nice trees. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I'm not talking about the one in Congress Park. I think that one was rotting inside.
Oh yeah.
But,
no, we're looking at neighborhoods throughout the city.
The Clinton Street, Clinton near Franklin, or Division rather, Franklin Square. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, these are some of the things that are going on that our council doesn't address at meetings.
You never hear it talked about in the paper.
No,
there's
you don't even hear
about it.
You don't even hear really about the cost of City Hall. Unless you're on the inside and have heard figures. But, I mean, they're not printed anywhere. And certainly we know that anything that's any kind of construction, whether it be to an existing building or a new construction, always have cost overruns. So when you're looking at an $11 million project and dealing with a 100-year and over building, you know, there's going to be some cost overruns. Some of the things, Nancy, that I wanted to talk to you about that happened in 2018, as we all know, Saratoga is probably the number one city as far as building condos that nobody really likes to occupy. But
a contentious issue here in Saratoga for sure.
Oh, we have an enormous amount, and, you know, hey, God bless the guy.
Still no workforce housing. Whatever happened to that issue?
Well, that we'll get into that here. You know, Sonny Bonaccio, who's a contractor in Saratoga, and a good one, but seems to be doing all the building, and I don't know if that's because he can get things done quicker in City Hall, or if I don't know what the excuse is, because we certainly have an overabundance of builders. But in any case, we had three approvals for new condos last year. One on Lake and Maple.
Oh, the Saratogian building.
Right, that's the Saratogian building that's being done over.
According to, I'm looking at the Saratogian now, is being converted to new business called... Walt and Whitman Beer Hall and Coffee House.
Yes.
And the plan calls for a June opening.
Well, yeah. And something that surprises me. At one time, they were going to put a... they'll make their own beer there, too, by the way, in the basement. But you remember a couple years ago in between... Well, back then it was the Borders building.
Where Finger Paint is now.
Right, where Finger Paint is now. And then one of the businesses next to it, there was an empty lot in there. And there was a brewery, microbrewery, that wanted to move in, build and move in there. And they were denied by the city because they didn't want, you know, there's certain odors that are given off when you make beer. And certain gaseous odors, and the city denied them because they didn't want the odor downtown. So when you walk downtown now from the restaurants, you can smell like burnt toast and, you know, all kinds of stuff.
They didn't want the city workers being affected by the fumes?
Right. They didn't, yeah, the noxious gaseous fumes. But I tell you, only here. But so now they've allowed, since then they've allowed these beer makers to go all over the city. And now this is another one. And it just leads me to wonder why we have so many businesses that make beer in Saratoga. I mean, you know, so we're becoming the Munich of Saratoga,
yes.
Springs. We have,
yeah,
beer halls all over, yeah, the place, you know.
Yeah.
And October is going to be really one big Oktoberfest in Saratoga.
Oh, I know what I wanted to mention to you. You remember last year's Chowderfest? It was complete debauchery.
Yeah.
And remember how there was talk about, because a lot of people were annoyed. I was too. I felt that it was a little too out of control. I mean, it's supposed to be a family-friendly event. Are there... something put in place this year to make sure that this kind of debauchery does not go on so early in the
day? I don't think so, because they do beer crawls on that day too, I think. So that leads to, and because there are so many bars, and you know, I mean, not just bars, but Caroline Street, you get just a lot of the bars, but you know, a lot of restaurants with bars on it that people do go to quite a bit. You know, it's things like that early in the daytime you wouldn't think would be going to a family event, like you said, Chowderfest, which is a great event.
It gets more and more crowded every year.
I know.
I mean, people seem to be intoxicated prior to getting there.
Yeah, and it starts out late. I mean, early in the morning.
Yeah, like, I think 10.
10 o'clock. And, you know, I mean, it just ruins it for the people that go there and want to enjoy walking Broadway.
I think it's getting to be, like, obnoxious.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of intoxication during the day.
I think they're going to have to limit the size of the crowds, to tell you the truth.
How would you go about doing that?
Well, I don't know, maybe issue tickets or something. Because, I mean, people had to wait in line, they were saying, for 2 hours just to get a cup of chowder at one of the... What this is, for people that don't know, it's restaurants and...
goes on in February.
Goes on in February. Restaurants make their
chowder. Each sample chowder is $1.
Right, their best chowder, and they're out in front of their restaurant, and you can sample a cup of chowder... And now we're not talking a big cup, but, you know,
a
sample of chowder for $1, and the money goes to...
And it's very competitive.
Yeah, Downtown Business Association, which does a lot for downtown Saratoga and, you know, to get businesses to come here. Very, very good, very fantastic. Some of the chowders you've never heard of, and people try it, and they're delicious.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're looking at crowds that... Like I say, you have to stand in line for an hour and a half, 2 hours in some restaurants, in front of some restaurants, and you hope that it's not a below zero day in February.
Yeah, there was one year, it was a few years ago, it was like, it was very warm out, it was unusual. It was like,
yeah,
60 degrees out, and they had like record crowds. I think there was like 10,000 people downtown.
Yeah.
It was pretty incredible.
But I know they were saying that it's getting so overdone now, people coming that they have to try and limit it. I mean, you know, your streets are jam-packed, the sidewalks are jam-packed, and I don't know, could, you know, I would say there's at least 30,000 people downtown.
This is, I've never understood, you know how like some events are held over at the racetrack on the off-season?
Yeah.
Why can't Chowderfest be over there? Why can't they just rent out that entire facility? It would be the perfect venue.
Yeah, because you got a lot of parking.
Tons of parking. They're able to accommodate thousands and thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah.
And there's room to move over there.
Right.
You can move around. Everybody could set up their own table. Lots of room.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's maybe you should make that you know, suggestion, because it seems like they need suggestions and thinking differently.
Well, we'd have to get somebody who's influential. I don't think they'd listen to anything that we would say.
No. Were you down at First Night this year?
I wasn't. This is probably one of the first years that I didn't go down.
Now, somebody told me, a friend of mine that went down last year, who had been going for about the past 4 years or so, said that they had gone out to eat up in Glens Falls and then went to a hockey game, and they came down to hit First Night about 9 o'clock, and he said it was dead.
Really?
Yeah, and he said he was surprised because, you know, it usually was busier than heck, and it wasn't.
Oh, wait a minute. It rained New Year's Eve.
This year?
Yeah.
I mean, the year before.
Oh, the year before.
Not this one, that just not in 18 and 17.
Well, last year was freezing cold.
Was that it?
It was like 0 degrees out last New Year's Eve.
Oh, okay.
So I think it was happening maybe around 8 or 9 o'clock, but maybe as soon as midnight hit, it just sort of fizzled out. I don't know. I mean, I know that it was freezing cold last year, and then it rained this year, so.
Right. Excuse me here. I think I'm coming down with some sort of disease.
Uh-oh.
I don't know. I'm only
kidding. No Clorox wipes in here.
Yeah, really. So anyway, some of the things that were approved last year when we hit condos, there is going to be a complex on the city's west side, and work is underway at 116 West Avenue, which is next to
the coffee house.
The coffee house, and that, and they're going to build.
Isn't that Scott Varley's thing?
Yeah, Scott Varley's. It's going to include 34 two-bedroom apartments, open floor plan residence on the second, third, and fourth floors. Each unit will have a balcony and a covered indoor parking. And the units will start in the $400,000 range, and they figure that this will, it's going to be the only rooftop pool and lounge with underground indoor parking and a business center for residents.
Did you say rooftop pool?
Rooftop pool, yeah.
For its residents.
Yeah, for the residents. And hopefully they won't swim off the roof, you know. ground level retail space with conventional parking. So they're doing this because they want to kind of really make the west side. I guess there's a restaurant going in somewhere over there, another restaurant.
You know, that's an area that they could use a lot more restaurants.
Oh, yeah.
And like West Ave. Because there's really nothing really to choose from besides 2 West. And there's what else is over there? Nothing.
Well, then
really.
You got the strip mall with the Chinese restaurant and that. But no, like a sit-down restaurant that's affordable.
Right.
Where a baked potato doesn't cost $50 in an a la carte menu. But no, I think you're right, because they do want to make the west side built up with businesses and so that there's a draw over on the west side, too. And I think that's pretty neat, actually, a good idea, because there are businesses over there already, and you need a draw. You need a draw that'll do that. There's another one here.
Well, I always thought, you know, if they put a nice restaurant, like, at the train station, or near.
Well, they're
the
building
station.
Apartments over there. I don't know how many. That's the work for. That's the affordable.
I mean, there's not even a cafe in the train station.
Oh no.
We have like the sorriest train station.
I know it, but there's, you know, and the thing is there's the affordable housing being built next to the post office. The Sonny Bonaccio project, and the units are going to start out, I heard, at about $1,800 a month. Now, affordable housing, to me, in a service industry city,
would be anywhere from like maybe $700 to $900.
Exactly. I can't imagine a dishwasher, a waitress, you know, and some of the other store employees that want to live in Saratoga, and they can't because... you know, the $1,800 is more than they make, probably. And if it's not, then they're using up all their salary. And,
right.
You know, but...
and yet we have facilities that people don't work and only pay $200 a month sitting right in the prime real estate in Saratoga. This
yeah.
This is a phenomenon that I've never understood. You reward people that don't work.
Right.
And you penalize people that do work.
Well, that's our whole national symptom. I mean,
yeah.
that's a way of life
yeah.
that the government started, and that does impact people that want to work. Well, I'll give you another thing about that. I could never understand why people that collect their Social Security before they're 65 are penalized for working. But you can't make more than, well, last year was like $17,000. After that, you have to pay them back a dollar for every two that you make. So
it's a ridiculous system for sure.
Well, it is. I mean, let seniors work. And, you know, if they're collecting Social Security, so be it. I mean, you know, it's a lower amount than if you had waited until you're 70, or at least until your full retirement age. It's different now. If you were born before 1959, it's 65. After 1960, it's 66. And I think it's going to go up to 67. They'll backtrack it for maybe to the 80s or whatever, going up to 68. And it's crazy. But anyway, there's another condo going up on the corner on Washington Street and with the Adelphi Hotel. They're building a 5-story condo.
Oh, yeah. I did see this in the paper the other day. Now, is it going to be right next to the Adelphi, like going towards Druthers?
Or I can't figure it out. They said it's on Washington, so that would lead me to believe that it's going to be...
Where
Starbucks is and where that little parking lot is.
Yeah, see, I couldn't figure it out either. I was trying to figure out where they were talking about.
I mean, they didn't say... Broadway, which is with the Adelphi, and the back isn't even on Washington. I mean,
it is.
But does it look at Washington? That's the side, isn't it?
Well, there's a back door that goes into the Adelphi from that parking lot.
All right.
That Starbucks parking lot.
Well, maybe they bought that...
That lot,
but they're building a 5-story condo there. And so that's another condo that may be...
there's going to be a spa.
Yeah, it's a spa, too. And then there was a condo on Putnam Street.
Another apartment building, yeah.
Yeah, another. And
six-story.
Yeah, 6-story. Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's good because that'll overlook the other condos that are up that high because you can't see downtown anymore. There's so many tall buildings. You know, I remember when I first moved to Saratoga, they wouldn't allow a building more than
four stories.
And now we got them 10.
Well, you know, not to play devil's advocate, the only place where you can go up at this point is up.
Oh, yeah, you can't go sideways. I mean, there's no property anymore.
There's no land anymore.
No, I think there's... one of my
friends. I was driving on East Avenue the other day by Mitchell Street. There used to be like some three-story home that used to be like a halfway home.
Uh-huh.
And that's done. I drove past the other day and it was completely demolished.
God forbid a halfway home would be on the east side.
Well, I was always surprised that it was over there. But they ran a pretty quiet. It wasn't anything.
These places are make very nice neighbors because we have one in our development. And I know they came around before they built and they said, are you okay with, you know, they were asking the neighbors, are you okay with a home in this, you know, we're thinking of buying one of the houses and we said, no, not really. I mean, and I'll tell you, they've been the greatest neighbors that you can. People are afraid. I mean,
because they're quiet.
Right.
The staff members come in, do their job, and leave, and you sure. don't really notice it. Yeah, that's what kind of, I only know that because I used to live right next door to that halfway house, and it was the same thing. It was never an issue.
No.
But I drove past it the other day, and it was completely gone.
That's something. Done. So what do you think's going to go there?
I don't know. I really don't
Probably
know.
Probably a 12-story condo.
I'm a little perplexed as to as to what will go there.
I don't know. Hey, there's another thing that I am kind of sad about. It seems that when you're a growing city, you lose all your historic what made the city, and one of them was Cafe Lena. And Cafe Lena, for nobody that knows much about Saratoga, was started out back in the 50s.
It started out in 1960.
In 60, during the Beatnik area. And it was a place where jazz musicians could go to perform. And I don't even think they got paid, but people could go up and listen to the talent. As a matter of fact, I think Don McLean, was it? The author of American Pie, played there when he was first starting out. Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan did, but Don McLean actually didn't write that American. That was one of the myths
right.
about, and Tom Demopoulos wrote an article on it, and it was in the New York Times.
Oh, that he didn't scratch it out on a bar napkin?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Well, correct. You know what? Don't believe Tom, because it's more of a story that he wrote it on a bar napkin.
It certainly. Is, yeah, it is. Because well, I don't know if you remember, I had interviewed Al McKinney, and Al McKinney had told me that story. And I just wrote it as he, you know, I wasn't saying that it absolutely happened. I just wrote it as Al McKinney told it to me. And then Tom did a little bit more digging and said that. I mean, I'm sure Don McLean was in TNL.
I'm sure
that he was here.
But he may have just been passing through like so many bands do, you know, when they're on their way to. But Bob Dylan was there performing when he first started out.
Was an unknown.
Right, was an unknown. And he became good friends with Lena. And she and she was quite a lady. I mean, she started that, and up until maybe 3 years ago or 2 years ago, Cafe Lena kept that reputation of new artists. And however, as things go by the wayside and everybody has to modernize, and I think Sonny got the rights to do the building over, and
the renovations. Did you remember what it looked like before?
Yes, and it's not bad.
I like
Don't get me wrong, but
it's much more open. You can fit more people because it was really tight squeeze.
And they went from to new sounds instead of just jazz. They've gone to contemporary music, classical concerts, and different kinds of venue to get more people in there, because at one time you could go and listen and not pay anything. Then it came where you had to pay not a lot of money. I mean, you know, I remember going there years ago, and I think we had to pay like $7 or $6 to get in, which is nothing. I mean, basically, if you want to hear that type of music.
Yeah, and they have other venues. I used to go to Open Poetry And that was fun, an open mic night. I think it used to be like $2 or $3. I think now it's $5.
Well, see, that's what the place was known for. You know, now it's kind of lost that era of music, and they've opened it up to, you know, pretty much any act that's not known to give them a place to play. But you can still hear, they say, if you go in after 1 in the morning and you're about the only one there, you can still hear Bob Dylan, his voice resonating off of the walls. Now, that's only a story. We're going to have to get Tom on that and see if that's the case. Maybe Tom will stay overnight by himself at the Cafe Lena. But anyway, we did the one of the other things that happened in 2018.
Do we have to do a public service announcement?
This is one right here. I have to read our public service announcements now. So I try to. Okay, no, go. We talked about the City Leaf thing, and as soon as Nancy gets back, I want to talk about education in Saratoga Springs and what they decided about hallway monitors carrying firearms. Nancy may have an update on what was going on in that. I'm not really sure if if that was ever completely settled. I know the decision they made back in October was kind of upsetting to most parents who send their kids to Saratoga schools. And, I mean, personally, I don't see anything wrong with trained personnel carrying firearms in schools. I don't think they'd go around shooting students. But, they were saying that they would like retired police officers, sheriffs, and whatnot as those that carry firearms. And there's some benefit in that, and I think there's a lot of retired police officers to do that. Nancy, one of the things I wanted to talk about that you may be able to give me an update on, in October, the school board voted against having monitors in the schools carry firearms.
Yes, I remember this.
And they employ ex-policemen and retired policemen and troopers and sheriffs who were the ones that were carrying the firearms. They refrain from letting teachers do that because sometimes teachers have contentious feelings for one another, and they didn't want any of them shooting their coworkers. But the parents had voiced a lot of opposition to that decision. I think they wanted people to carry firearms as long as it was done right, and
well,
I know.
Why wouldn't you want your security to not have?
Well, exactly.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, these are kids, and we know that there's been so many school shootings where some psychopath enters the building.
Right.
You would want your security to be armed so that they could handle an active shooter.
And it was a 5-4 vote, by the way. It wasn't overwhelmingly against. I mean, it was a majority of the board, 5-4. But the people who spoke out against the guns reasoned that the school hadn't done enough research on the matter. They said that there was no task force, no committee, no public forums, no question and answer periods. Now this amazes me. I think it's sexist, but Michelle King, who's a member of the Saratoga Conservative Chicks, which, if I called Michelle King a chick, she'd probably bring me up on charges. But they were in favor of a yes vote, explaining that hallway monitors are there to protect the children, and, they can't do it unless they have the tools to do so.
She voted in favor of officers having
correct
guns.
One okay. of the and the tools were firearms that mm-hmm. you can carry them discreetly. I have a friend that is a retired homicide detective that not from Saratoga, but from another city that carries a concealed weapon, and you would never know he had a concealed weapon on him.
That Palestinian woman that was elected to Congress.
Oh yeah, yeah. The crazy person that said. Used the vulgarity.
She used the MF
against
phrase.
Trump. Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be considered hate speech, Rick? Oh, wait, no. She's a Democrat, so it's not hate speech, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it works. That's how the game is played, right?
Yeah, it is. And she's
that's
a politician.
The yeah, that's the insanity. If it had been a conservative calling a Republican or calling a liberal that. It would be hate crime.
Well, let me tell you something, and I will say this. I have to give the Democrat Congress, most of them anyway, except Nancy Pelosi, and I was surprised that Chuckie Schumer, who's the head of the Schumer shutdown that we're going through now in the government, did come out against this woman in strong terms. And a lot of Democratic council or Congress people have come out in strong terms against this.
The Palestinian woman?
Yes, from Michigan, for using that language.
Well, that's good.
I mean,
they
don't think.
They should come down. That should not be encouraged at all.
Well, the way I look at it is if she told a lady that she should tell her son to use that language, then. This is how this woman talks at home in front of her kids or grandkids. Because you don't tell people to talk that way unless you talk that way.
But you know what, though? She thinks that she's doing society a favor.
Well, sure. Well, look at Maxine James Brown Waters out of California.
That woman is crazy.
Oh, she is. I mean, she's, I think, certifiable. well, number one, she took James Brown's wig and she's got it on her head. And, I mean, that takes a little bit of a crazy person right there, but I mean...
Do you think Nancy Pelosi is senile?
There's
something wrong with her.
Yeah, there is. I mean, and I'm not saying every person in their 80s is senile, but I think she's 80 years old or 79 years old, and you know what?
But she slurs. I mean, there's something wrong.
Right.
I don't know if she's over-medicated. I don't know if she's...
Well, she was a good
maybe
leader.
20 years ago.
Yes.
She was somewhat coherent.
And she could pull her weight. I mean, she had Congress behind her.
The fact that she could get reelected to this position is just beyond my comprehension.
You're right. And there's there's some males, some men that were well qualified, younger men, and middle age. There's nothing wrong with being older, and I mean, obviously, when you're
some
elected,
some people are as sharp as a tack the day that they die.
Right, and there are a lot of qualified women in Congress now,
right.
And that could be qualified for that job.
I think Nancy Pelosi gives women in politics a bad name, and I think that's what annoys me about her because there are so many qualified women. I do not think. She is.
Well, supposedly she said that this was her last 2 years because she wants to groom people in the fine points of being a leader.
Nancy, we have to pass it so we know what's in it, Pelosi.
Right, exactly. Yes, pass it first and then look at the bill, which is the way they operate. What are you going to do? Now, I'm an independent, but, you know, the Republicans, I'm conservative on social issues and money issues, but they do the same thing as far as trying to eliminate Obamacare, and then they don't do anything, and they had both houses of Congress, you know.
I know what I wanted to talk to you about, and I brought it in. Today, and I had mentioned this to you before, is that a friend of mine who shall remain nameless had brought this to my attention months ago. And this person asked me if I had received one via the mail. And I looked it over and said, no, I have not received anything like this. I wish I had. It's a 2000, this is from last year. This is from 2018. It's a Saratoga County Critical Issues Survey. And I didn't get one. I've asked around, and I don't know anybody else.
I never got one.
This particular friend of mine is the only one who's received it, to my knowledge. I mean, I'm sure there's other people in Saratoga County who've gotten this, but these are questions that everybody should be asked in Saratoga County, or in probably every municipality. You know, and I'll just go over some of the questions. Voting history. Always vote, sometimes vote, usually vote, never vote, no answer. Political affiliation, political views. How do you view the amount of power the Supreme Court has in our country? In 2012, who did you support for president? In 2016, who did you support for president? In general, do you feel that Congress is doing a good job for senior citizens? Are you happy with the job that your congressmen or senators are doing? I mean, these are, it's pretty thorough survey.
Yeah, I think they said it would take about 17 minutes to.
Yeah, it's very thorough. It's very lengthy. But these are questions that I don't think that most of us, and I know that you vote consistently, and I've voted consistently since I've been of age to vote.
Sure.
These are questions that I'm never asked. Are you in favor of increased spending in education? Are you in favor of increased spending for welfare programs? Are you in favor of increased spending for environmental programs? Are you in favor of abolishing the IRS? I mean, who's asked that? Nobody.
No. But if you're for a national sales tax that would abolish the IRS. So that, I mean, would be an answer that I wouldn't answer yes or no. I might answer yes and then write in if we have a national sales tax, because your own states could handle that. We have state tax departments already.
Right. But you and I have talked about that most people are not given these surveys for the number one reason that our government doesn't benefit from having informed constituents. It totally relies on public ignorance.
You're right.
Complacency.
And you
apathy.
Know that wasn't a blind survey either, because
yeah,
if you read into the questionnaire, it says her first name. Dear
yes.
So and so.
But here's some other questions. What role should religion play in government? President Obama said, whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation. Do you agree with him?
Yeah.
I mean, these are some really profound questions.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you something. I honestly think we still are a Christian nation. But I think there's a certain political parties that try and make us a non-Christian society. And I think it's pretty sad, because we were founded on certain principles, and of course you don't want to
well, the principles
you don't
have been eroding
against,
for the past 50 years especially.
Well, they have, and you
don't
want to go against
started?
Any religion. You want people to practice whatever religion they want.
Certainly. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a Bible thumper, but I think people should be able to practice whatever religion they want.
Of course. Well,
however,
that's what America stands for.
Things started to change, and I've had this conversation with many people before, quite a few of my friends. We talk about this a lot, and we try to say, okay, when did things really start to go wrong for America? Do you know when it was?
Well, I'd say probably the first half of the 60s.
In 1962, what happened?
1962.
What thing changed that I think started it?
Missile to the moon.
1962, prayer was taken out of school.
Oh, okay.
And again,
right.
I'm not a Bible thumper, and I used to really kind of look disparaging on people that would kind of thump on this issue. But once prayer was taken out of school, there was a lack of discipline that was, I mean, I grew up Catholic.
Right.
You know, my relatives went to Catholic school. They used to tell me stories about the nuns. I mean, they were abusive.
Oh, they, yeah.
They were. I mean, there's no question about it.
In a good way.
But there was discipline there. You knew that you had to listen to these people, or there would be consequences.
Well, sure.
Handwriting was a thing. Cursive, you know. There's a reason why Catholics have good handwriting.
And I don't think kids can read cursive language
today.
Well,
it's not even being taught anymore, which is shocking.
No. Well, you know, you talk about prayer being taken out of school and
well, now kids don't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Right, right. Oh, that's, you know what, that's craziness because even, you know, they even took any reference to religion out of Christmas, like displays at school or whatever. And
yeah, I remember when my daughter was attending grade school, and I won't say where, but somewhere here in Saratoga, and they were calling the Halloween party the Harvest Festival. And yeah. That always annoyed me.
Now,
really annoyed me.
There's more than a majority, a super majority of people. It doesn't bother. Okay? I was watching a show one time when it was a talk show with a Jewish host and a Catholic. Just happened to be a Jewish host and a Catholic host. I mean, you know, the religion didn't play any part of it. But I remember it was just before the holidays, and the Catholic host said to his partner, he said, do nativity scenes in front of city halls or public buildings bother you as a Jewish person? He said, absolutely not.
And you know what, Rick? It never did.
No.
Jewish kids were never bothered by the Christmas
tree.
My
gosh, no. I had a principal that told me that when he was in school, when he was the principal of a school, this was a few years ago, he's been retired for about 10 years or so, he always had a Christmas concert in the school he was principal of. Well, one of the fathers came up to him and said, made a big deal of it. I don't want it to be called a Christmas concert. My daughter's in the choir, chorus, or whatever, and we're not Catholic. And I don't want it to be called that. So against his better judgment, he said, all right, out of respect for her being there, that I'll change it to a holiday party or holiday concert. Well, the night of the concert, she never showed up. So he said, no more. After that, he called it a Christmas concert. He said,
why didn't she show up?
She just didn't want to perform, whether she got stage fright or what. She didn't want to perform. So anyway, and he said that's just the way it goes. I mean, but I'll tell you, we've gone back to, and I don't know if it ever changed. I mean, there were Catholic people that ran for president in years past, and you know John Kennedy has been the only Catholic that has ever won the presidency.
I think there was a Catholic before him, but
no.
He just didn't promote himself as.
I don't think
Catholic.
So. Al Smith ran, didn't win, but he was Catholic, and the sentiment was they didn't want the Catholic Church involved in politics because the Pope would run. Whoever the president was, and I think that ended back in the 60s when John Kennedy got elected and proved that, you know, the Pope doesn't run American politics. But
they just run the world, though.
Yeah. But the congresswoman the senator from California, she's got to be, well, she asked it, Kamala Harris. Is her name, when she's thinking about running for president. There was a judge on the federal bench that had to go through the approval process. And usually those judges go right through. I mean, they don't face the scrutiny that a Supreme Court justice faces. And she was quizzing this man on being Catholic. And if any cases came before him, and I know which one she was going after him for, Roe v. Wade. I mean, you know, would his religion stand in the way of making a decision? And he said, absolutely not. You have to go by the law of the land. And he said, just like Brett Kavanaugh said, you know, I mean, if it's law now, then there's a presumption that it's legal, not it's a presumption that they made a wrong decision. So you do get religious bashing. But you know what? In reality, that started when the Puritans came over here to escape religious persecution. And what did they do? If you didn't believe the way they did, they burned witches at the stake. It was...
Barbaric,
but and it's getting that way. Hey, we've got a few minutes left, and I want to go through some of questions for you. You have a business
called Inside Saratoga,
and I want to read a interview that is on page 4, and I want to ask you some questions.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
It starts out, this says, if you have questions about getting around a place, ask a cab driver. And this is when you did drive a cab. But if you want to know Saratoga Springs, ask Nancy Muldoon. She's a writer, entrepreneur, and history buff. And I would like to put you up for Saratoga's historian because you know so much about history. And I especially like when you take pictures of historic buildings or older houses, you also give a detail on those, and I find that very interesting.
And you can look me up I'm on Instagram as Inside Saratoga. Yeah. It's Inside_Saratoga. I take a lot of pictures.
And you're on Facebook, Inside Saratoga. I got that on the background. Yeah. But let me ask you a question. What question do you hear the most?
The two questions that I'm asked most on the tours are, where should we have dinner? And what else is there to do besides the racetrack?
What is there to do besides the racetrack, right? I mean, you had mentioned that the O'Brien Inn is...
That's a local favorite. I love the building. I love
You're right, it's local and it's a family priced. They have good food, and
it's not a tourist trap.
Right.
It's a local favorite. It's a really nice, they have a nice bar. They have good food. It's consistent.
Yep.
And it's the kind of restaurant where you go in and you see the same servers.
Right.
Over and over. They've worked there for years, you know, sure. So it's obviously has to be a good place to work.
And you also said, you know, besides the racetrack, where do people go? And you mentioned that you love the Victoria Pool.
Yeah, I think Victoria Pool, I mean, it's $8. I mean, obviously, it's only open in the summertime, but it's $8 to get in. There's a bar and cafe poolside. It's right in the heart of town. You know, you don't have to drive, you know, half an hour away to get there. State Park. I love doing the trails. I walk through the State Park quite a bit.
Yeah.
And for residents of Saratoga, the Roosevelt Spa offers those mineral baths for $20.
Yeah.
But you have to be a resident of Saratoga.
And, I mean, we're very fortunate that we have a large state park in the center of Saratoga Springs. So there are, like you said, a lot of trails, a lot of
geysers.
Yeah, and
they're marked trails. There's a 5-mile trail that you can do.
And
you don't have to do the whole thing.
No cars, basically, for the most part. You can't, you know, you don't have to be worried about somebody running you over because they don't like hikers. Also, you said in the area, you can go swimming in Moreau Lake. It's very clean.
Moreau State Park, I think, is a great park. They have campgrounds. You could go for the day. You could stay overnight.
Yep.
There's a ton of trails in Moreau State Park, too.
And Grant Cottage, you mentioned?
Grant's Cottage is open May to October. And that's a fun place to go to. And, you know, a lot of people in Saratoga have never been to Grant's Cottage.
I know, and that's President Grant. He's buried in Manhattan, but people don't know. And even locals don't know that he used to come up here in the summer and spend his summers here.
In fact, when George Batchelor built the Batchelor Mansion... there was a party held in his honor. So he's been at the Batchelor Mansion.
Really?
Yep. And he died here, wrote his memoir here, and his friend got him the publishing contract. Do you know who the friend was?
Who's that?
Mark Twain. Samuel Clemens. And, I mean, Saratoga County and New York State is a fascinating place.
Right. It is. And
think about it this way. Saratoga is the only place that the British have ever surrendered.
That's right. Exactly. And that's out in Stillwater at the Saratoga Battlefield.
That's correct.
All right. What are your tours? How do your tours work?
You give me a call. And not every tour is the same. I think that's what's unique about my business is no tour is alike. Some people are interested in going to a horse farm. Some people are interested in tasting the mineral water, and I provide the tasting cups for the mineral water. Some people are not interested in the mineral water. Some people are not interested in going to a horse farm. So I tweak it to whatever the customer's interests are. Some people are history buffs. Some people are not. Some people just want me to drive them through town and point out what restaurants and bars they should go to.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
That's great. I mean, that's a great niche business you have. And I know from the racetrack, people that have taken the tour that come up to the track and just can't say enough about it and about you.
Thank you. And you know, they're affordable. I charge $100 for the tour. It's up to four people. So if you have, you know, if it's two couples, it's $25 per person. It's affordable. It's fun. It's informative. It's casual.
Yeah. That's great. Time. Hey, listen, we're at the magic hour of polka music right now. So I am going to do my best to get them on the air post tense. And thank you for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, Nancy, you're very welcome. Anytime. January the 5th, we're into the new year already. The first week has gone by. It's only 50 weeks until Christmas. And we'll talk to you next week. Have a great one.